T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on, pump up the volume. It's time to play ball with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
Good morning, happy Wednesday. Jolo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Outstanding to have you with us as always. Big show for you today. Jim Duquette, former general manager of the Mets and the Orioles, coming up at 6:30 to continue assisting us in sorting through this mess that is the Houston Astros cheating scandal. Shout out Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, came out yesterday and apologized for calling the World Series trophy, a.k.a., get this, the commissioner's trophy, a hunk of metal. So that statement didn't even make it about 48 hours before he's apologizing for that. Baseball. What are you going to do? Matt Viscursian, play-by-play voice for ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. He's at 8 o'clock. Mark Spears at 9:05. A reminder, the opportunity for you to work for us here at 95.7 The Game as an on-air personality is officially in play. The Dream Job Contest, it's launched. It's your chance to be an on-air host here at 95.7 The Game. We're accepting video submissions online at the website, 957thegame.com. Your video should be a minute long. Don't go longer. Give us your best rant. Give us your best take, your opinion, comedy, however you see yourself as an on-air personality. Give us your best minute. Submit it at 957thegame.com. One rule, do not play any music in the background. It's a legal thing. We will have to disqualify you. We're going to take the best 16 videos and have you compete against each other at our live event Saturday, March 7th. And again, full details, 957thegame.com. Big workout in this morning, big man. Big workout. Saw you glistening, making your way through the kitchen. What'd you do this morning?
You know, I always get a little jog in over to Planet Fitness, and, you know, it's a great place. So, you know, 10 cents down, who can beat that? You know what I'm saying, Gary, Jimmy?
Everybody's got a dime.
Yeah, everyone's got a dime, and they park at our dime walking next to them. You know, that's what you used to have, Joe and Coe's. I had two dimes back in the day, Coe's, one in each arm. But as I digress. So got a little chest in today, Joe, a little cardio, a little chest, little squats. Make sure I get those shrugs in. Go really hard for 30 minutes. 30 minutes, Coe's, and I'm at. In and
that's
out.
Good. That's solid workout. I like it. Not leg day today?
No.
Before you got in this morning, we were watching videos of Little Low benching 435 pounds.
What?
That's how we started the day, watching bench press videos from the University of Purdue.
Yesterday.
Purdue University, excuse me.
Yeah, I always do that. Dad, it's not that. You just get it right. Purdue
he's
University.
An elitist now.
Yeah,
P-U.
It's Purdue University. Yeah,
like, Purdue University, P-U.
So he sends me this video, yesterday, and I called him and said, hey, what you doing? Nothing, why? I said, I see you. And I started laughing. You scared, huh? I said, whatever. So I told him, I said, all right, I'm going to the gym. So, yeah, so yesterday I got another workout in after he sent me the video because he wants to have a bench off. So I got to
wait.
Yeah.
He wants to have a bench off with you.
Yeah.
Is this like golf?
Can we do it here?
Yeah.
Can we do it here, please?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, hit him on a DM and say, Little Low, so August, when you come in, right before camp, when you come in July, let's do a bench off.
A little bench off.
Yes, me and
ooh,
him.
I like that.
Now, let me ask, is this like golf where, you know, maybe you get a couple of pounds extra? You know, like if I was playing golf against someone who was good, they'd give me a couple of strokes. He's young. He's a stud. You might need to, you know, like his 400 is kind of your 220.
A poundy cap. Not a handicap, a poundy cap.
A poundy cap. I love it, Joseph.
He's got a better chance of outbenching me than Dibs basketball. So that's closer.
Well, this is where this gets interesting.
That's what I said. So he's got a better, but I'm saying he's got a better chance.
Right. So you'd get a couple of pounds.
No.
Come on. There will be none of that.
None of that.
You think that's how it works out in the jungle with the head of the lion, pride, and you think children?
You think I told him that yesterday?
Yeah, there's not going to be any of that.
I told him that yesterday. I said, son, now I can honestly say you're a man and now I'm going to be busy. I said, now I got to get busy because it's not just a layup. So, but I told him now I might cut you. Really? Yeah, oh, yeah. I said, I got to cut him now.
Man.
But so it'd be tough right now because I had that hernia surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to the gym yesterday, threw around, I got 355 five times. So I'm not.
Jeez.
So, but I didn't want to put 400 on. I've been 6 weeks from the surgery. Sure. So I'm like, okay, let me. So.
What do you think you could do right now? Obviously, the surgery is a concern, but if you were.
If I didn't have the hernia and just working out like I was.
Pretend like you weren't working out, but you didn't have the hernia. If you did 355 five times yesterday and you were maxing out, but you weren't off a hernia, but you also weren't working out like you weren't because of the hernia, where do you think you'd be at?
I'm probably 4-something.
Okay, so you're right there.
Yeah.
But so, you're in second place.
No.
Four is like a one-time.
You said 4-something. You didn't say 435.
I didn't say 435, but I'll say 436. If he did 435,
you'll die before you lose that contest. Yeah, that's not a joke.
Yeah,
he's not going down.
So, Coach, trust me, I'm increasing my push-ups. I'm gonna go up to like 300 to 400 a day. So I got
to
make sure
watch
that,
some of those.
So I know what I got to do, and a lot of triceps because you know when you get to the top, you gotta have the tricep
you
extension.
Get a pop. I need
absolutely.
To pop it,
and a lot of low bench and down where I keep it down in the gut.
Sure.
So stay down low. So you want to get through, and then you do middle. And then you do it at the top. Full range.
He's also got a huge advantage. Little low, taller, longer arms. Low got the alligator arms. So a bench rep for him is like 4 inches.
He just bounces off the.
Two
turkeys. He's got his pectoral muscles. Get it up there.
So I want you here for that one, Coz. That will be cool. That'd be awesome.
I would love to do that. We got another event to discuss before we get to that. 1 week from today, at Chase. Your opportunity. We've got 6 spots left to partake in the free throw contest. 1 week from today, Wednesday, February 26th. At Chase Center. We're doing a live show there. 10 of you will win a chance to shoot in a free throw contest, grand prize warrior tickets. We're working on all that stuff. The opportunities to win are every day this week at 7:45 and 8:45. But alongside the free throw contest, the disgrace at Chase. Low versus Dibs, 1-on-1 to 11, losers out. You'll notice you heard the sultry sounds of Jim Cosimore talking to Low and myself so far this morning. No Dan Dibley second day in a row, which begs the question. 2 days is enough time to get to Germany and have any sort of weirdo experimental treatment and then come back. What do you think's going on here? I tried to reach out to him yesterday.
He blocked
ghosted,
you.
As ghosted, the kids would say. I was ghosted.
Yeah, really?
Ghosted.
Little platelet-rich plasma treatment going on, therapy going on for Dibs. He's trying to loosen
Dr.
it up.
Teen. He went and seen Dr. Teen over in San Jose to get those plates. Yeah, exactly.
That's what he's trying to do. Whatever it takes. Because I think he's starting to sweat a little bit.
Yeah, and he's talking about his knee. He said he's been training. He's been getting the balls up, shooting a lot of balls. So without a doubt, he's getting some treatment. So it's going to be interesting because I'm going to bang him a little bit and see how he works out.
Early that way? You start physical or just see what they have?
See what he has. If I start off a little physical, get down in front of him and make sure that I'm down squatting, you know, be in a good position and see if he can work.
Okay.
I want to see if he can create that space that he's talking about.
There'll be a feeling out period like the first couple rounds of a title fight.
And really just put the pressure on him. Make him have to work. Get him tired, because I don't think that his wind is in. I don't think he's in good shape. So I'm gonna make him dribble the ball.
It's probably a fair assessment.
So you got
just looking at him.
Yeah, if I stay on him, and I'm not gonna let him back me down. So if I stay on him and make him stay out and dribble, now he's gonna have to expend energy. And if he missed a shot, I mean, my quickness getting back to the. I think I'm
round mound of rebound.
Yeah, I mean, he's not gonna beat me on the boards.
Let me get some rules. He's not gonna make it take it.
No, losers out.
Is there an official or is you
official.
Call your own?
There will be an official.
Okay, I like
We're hoping to get Kalena Azubuike. It's right in between the Warriors hosting the Kings and then the Warriors hosting the Lakers on Thursday.
Okay.
So the whole crew should be in town. Now, obviously, they have responsibilities that run late into the night. You know this.
Sure.
So the possibility exists that maybe it's too early in the morning for him. He does live nearby. Oddly enough, we haven't even bothered reaching out to him to ask him yet. That's probably part of the problem as to why we don't have the commitment yet. But we will get there at some point. But we're hoping he's involved. Both have agreed he could be the guy, but we don't know the rules. Some are wondering, is it possible to foul out of a game like this?
Oh, that's a great question.
We can't have that. We can't have billions of people lining up for the disgrace at Chase Wednesday, February 26th, only to watch one of the two combatants foul out. It'd be like in boxing, stopping a great fight due to a cut.
Yeah, and you got to realize, Jim, Dibs is banking on me fouling because he thinks because I'm big. He don't understand. I'm athletic. You're just a big
graceful.
Fullback.
You're graceful.
Thank you. And he's like, oh, my God. People don't even see me creeping up on him. How many times have I scared you, Joel? You can't even hear me. See me.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, hater.
A lot.
I'm just like smooth, cozy.
You are.
And he doesn't understand my first step. I'm going to beat him.
Like the Pink Panther.
Yes. Cozy.
I know. No, believe me. I've been scared. Before by you,
I didn't know that right after the surgery because I knew
exactly
because I knew your neck if he jerked
you can't be jerking that neck around.
I know.
By the way, are the turtlenecks just retired?
Pretty much, they're pretty much retired.
It was a good look.
You know, it's not bad.
It's not bad, my friend.
Really?
It is a good, stylish look.
I might have
you
to bring it back.
You brought it on strictly as a functional utility move, but it is a stylish move this year. The turtleneck is very much
you look
in play.
Because I got this scar. You can see the scar right there.
Only if I'm really looking at it. Have you been using the bio oil that I told you about?
No, I haven't.
The bio oil will clean that right up.
Seriously?
My wife was using it for the C-section.
Oh, I gotta tell my wife.
Gone. The bio oil. I was using it on the neck for the cyst. Uh-huh. Gone.
Oh, I got to do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to go bio oil. And you can get that any old drugstore.
We ordered it and had it shipped to the house because everything's shipped to the house. 37 packages per day. Your boy's breaking down in the package room. That's how I spend at least 22 minutes of every day breaking down boxes. All right. A lot of people already weighing in. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 on the Aubrey Huff interview from yesterday and the conversation. We are going to address that today, and we would like to hear from you, both sides of the equation. But we got a lot to get to with Rob Manfred. Jim Duquette, former Major League Baseball general manager, is coming up at 6:30. Manfred talking like the FBI in a movie about how they're going to protect Mike Fiers this year. That doesn't end well for Mike Fiers if it's movies I'm thinking of. So we're going to get to that in a little bit here. But first, nice guy Stephen Langford. What's up with the Warriors?
What's Up with the Warriors is brought to you by Serramonte Ford, your San Francisco Ford dealer. The 10-day contracts with the Golden State Warriors expired yesterday for Zach Norvell and Jeremy Pargo, but they have decided to not re-sign those guys to another 10-day contract, so Steve Kerr currently has 10 guys to work with on the roster. Steph Curry, though, is currently participating in drills and practice, inching his way closer back to the team, guys.
Good stuff. Warriors return tomorrow night, hosting the Houston Rockets. Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred continues to dig a hole. We'll have that for you next year on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Low and Dibs, starring Jim Cosimore.
When Bay Area teams win championships, Jim Cosimore wins Emmys. And I was moving some space on the shelf for another Emmy.
On 95.7 The Game.
I haven't had my coffee yet, Joe. You don't know what's coming through my
pie. Yeah, gotta have the coffee first.
Nice.
There are a lot of people that hit me up yesterday that want Run This Guy t-shirts made up.
Wow.
Run This Guy. It became a hashtag yesterday.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah.
We got to get in on that.
I'm in.
Are you?
Absolutely.
Let's do it. Let's get them printed. Let's get them printed, and we'll stand outside at 3rd and King on the day they celebrate the 2010 championship selling our Run This Guy t-shirts.
I'm sure we'd be welcomed with open arms.
Absolutely.
That's exactly what you want to see on a day like that. All right, Joe Low and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Jim Duquette, former GM of the Mets and the Orioles, coming up in 13 minutes at 6:30. We will talk to him about a variety of topics, one of which is Commissioner Rob Manfred. I don't know who advises this guy, because every time he opens his mouth, he seems to dig a deeper hole. That is the beauty of this Astros scandal. Major League Baseball cannot shut up. And I'm not talking about guys like Mike Trout and other baseball players like Cody Bellinger who are commenting on it. That's fine. But for those who are directly responsible for the mishandling of this, Astros ownership all the way down to the players and the commissioner, you would think at some point someone would be like, guys, we got to be quiet for one day. You got to let one news cycle go past without giving people headlines. Manfred, he couldn't do it.
You know, I had a long day on Sunday. I think I did 45 minutes on camera, and then I did a press conference. I have to say I made one mistake, at least, during that long day. And that was in an effort to make a rhetorical point. I referred to the World Series trophy in a disrespectful way. And I want to apologize for that. There's no excuse for it. I made a mistake. I was trying to make a point, but I should have made it in a more effective way. And again, I want to apologize for it. I will say this. You know, I've awarded 5 World Series trophies. There is no greater pleasure in this job than awarding that trophy. I understand what it means. And again, it was a mistake to say what I said.
How about it, Coz? What do you make of this guy and the fact that he called the World Series trophy over the weekend? They weren't just going to take back a piece of metal when asked if they would strip the Astros of the World Series. It's just a piece of metal, essentially, is what he was saying. Now he's apologizing for that comment.
An incredibly crass thing to say about something that's actually called the Commissioner's Trophy. I think that it really hurts everyone who has won it. It didn't just hurt the 2017 championship. That hurt every team that has carried that trophy and lifted it above its head. You've been blessed enough to have your team win it in your lifetime, and you know what it's like to celebrate that.
Oh, wait.
Absolutely. I know finally as a Cub fan what it's like after 108 years of absolute filthy baseball they win and what it meant to that city and me as a fan. My dad had passed. He would have loved it. My sister went up and wrote her name on the wall outside of Wrigley Field, wrote his name up on the wall. That's what that trophy means to communities. For the guy who runs the league to demean his own trophy, I think it's horrible. And I like his apology, but he could have gone more.
He could have gone more. I like the fact that he said, you know, people don't understand. It's tough. He was up there for 45 minutes.
Oh, wow.
First thing I thought was 45 minutes. That's long for what?
That's 45? Our 7 o'clock hour.
Right. It's 45. You know, I was up to, people don't understand the day I had. I had to speak to people for 45 minutes and I made one mistake. Wow. Thank you for admitting that one mistake. You hear this. I mean, what do you make of this? You're a former athlete. If this is how your commissioner was talking about your championship, what would you think?
It's tough for me because I think if you look at value, what is value? Value is in the eyes of the beholder, and its value is how you feel of something in your heart and what people perceive as value. You can get a diamond, a stone, and whatever it may be, and people can look at it and say, man, we put a value on that's a diamond, that's a precious ruby, and people say that's the value. Who made it value? Who gave it its value? Who did that? It's people. And it's a gem, it's a rarity, all those different things around it. I get it. It is hard to win a championship. A trophy, a piece of metal, doesn't defy the championship. The championship is defied by the individuals. So I think when you look at this, when you think about what a championship is devised of a team, a collective of talent, whether you win a title, whether it's individual, whether it's a team, it's a championship. That is the moment. It's not necessarily about that piece of metal. It's about those moments and those memories to get that piece of metal. And I think that when you look at this, when talking about just Houston in general, yeah, I get it. It's a piece of metal. That's why I think it should be stripped, not the metal. Melt the metal down if that's what you need to do. But I'm saying that's why when I'm talking about winning a championship as individuals, as a team, because I know the blood and the sweat and the tears that goes into it and how hard what the sacrifice is, and you're going against other men that want something just as bad as you, forget the metal. It's the moment. So that's why I think that when you look at what they did, that's why this should be that black mark. That's why that asterisk. It's not about that trophy. It's not about that medal. It's about those hard memories and all these other teams that did it the right way in the confines of what the rules is. But the individuals that didn't, that's why, to me, the Houston Rockets, the Houston Astros, the baseball team, should not have won the championship. It should be a black mark because now all that work, because you did not do it the right way, was in vain. So forget the trophy. I'm with him there. It's those memories to get there.
That's an excellent point. Excellent point. The commissioner continued during this media session. He went on to praise Oakland Athletics pitcher Mike Fiers, who was one of the key whistleblowers on the Astros scandal back in November. That was the report from Ken Rosenthal. Here's the quote from the commissioner. "We will take every possible step to protect Mike Fiers whenever he's playing, whether it's in Houston or somewhere else. Mike did the industry a service." Interesting. Interesting. Is Fiers going to need protection? He's in the AL, so he doesn't have to hit outside of the interleague games. What would he need protection from? Is he being viewed, do you think, as a rat outside of Houston?
Guys love him, Coz. I mean, think about all the people you hear him talking, all these people that are saying the Astros got away with it. You hear all these other guys coming out and saying the commission was too soft on them. They got away with it. So Fiers, this is a guy that went to that team and seen this was going on. And he's like, man, I'm telling. Because his loyalty wasn't to them. Because he understood this thing was wrong. So I don't know if I think that he should be committed. Sometimes I know they talk about whistleblowers, stitches, snitches, get stitches. I get that. But then it comes a time where if it was your team, something else was going on in your life, a family member. Sometimes you got to just do the right thing.
But I think that there is also an undercurrent of baseball people who think that he did the wrong thing. You keep it in-house. If you want to get done, you want to get rid of it, you stay inside. You don't out someone. You know, you were the beneficiary of that maybe for a while because you were part of the system, right? Now you're gone from the system and that system's beating you, so now you're going to out it? Wasn't it when she was part of the Mets organization? She did Sunday Night Baseball.
Jessica Mendoza.
She was one who was openly saying, well, I don't think Fiers did a good thing for baseball.
They're saying that those comments are what led to her losing the Mets job and also the demotion at ESPN.
That's very interesting that that's all part of it. But I do think that there's an undercurrent of people within the game of baseball, baseball guys, who think that you don't snitch on those within the game. And I think that maybe some of that word about Fiers is towards the fans. Don't throw anything when he's warming up. You know, watch what you say about threatening words you use when he's walking out to the mound. That might be part of it.
Hate the Patriots. Why? A lot of them. A lot of them love them because they're a good team.
You love the Patriots?
Love the Patriots. I didn't know that.
A lot of ball players hate them because they think that they cheat. A lot of people hate the Patriots because they think that they push the rules a little too far. A lot of individuals in the game, and they're like, man, this team, they get away with certain things, and they don't like it. As players, they don't like it. So, yeah, they understand that, but I don't think when you look at it, when you can tell and say something about someone that you think that's got an advantage or doing something, I don't think guys look at it that way. A lot of people that I know that play in the National Football League that absolutely hate the Patriots and would never play for them at times because they knew what the Patriots, when you hear certain things that they did, it turned them off.
Maybe they like Fiers because he did what they want to do, but they didn't have to do it.
Exactly.
It's like, all right, he went
there
out there and took the bullet as being the quote snitch. I wanted to do that, but I, you know, didn't want to really put myself in the crosshairs. What's the difference between Fiers and Canseco? Both can be viewed as whistleblowers. Canseco was out of the game, wrote the book, blew the lid off of the steroid scandal in baseball.
That's different, in my opinion.
Help me with that. I'm curious.
I think
Canseco is viewed as a villain for what he did. Fiers not really taking on that same villain role.
Right, because Canseco talked about what he was doing because Canseco got caught up in a situation where I'm not saying everyone, but a majority of the guys in Major League Baseball was taking steroids, taking greenies, taking a bunch of different deals, doing all kinds of different things, pushing the rules, and it was acceptable. GMs, everyone knew that everybody, what everyone's doing. So when Canseco's trying to just sell everyone out and go, I think guys are looking at that because it's directly selling individuals. It's directly a little bit different, but I understand. And in the essence, you're saying in the purest forms, was it still guys doing stuff that was deemed illegal out in society? Yes. But deemed illegal in baseball when everyone's doing it? No.
All right, let it marinate because I want to get to the people on that as well. 888-957-9570. What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Nutrisystem for Men. What's the difference between Mike Fiers and Jose Canseco? We'll talk to Jim Duquette, former general manager of the Mets and Orioles, about that and everything baseball related next. Now is the time to try Nutrisystem for Men. Lose weight eating the food you love. Buy 1 month, get one free, plus a week of protein-packed shakes. Free at Nutrisystem.com/radio. That's Nutrisystem.com/radio. Restrictions apply. Call or see website for details.
Now back to Joe Lo and Dibs.
You know, I'm working on like 3 hours of fumes here. So I'm just telling you.
On 95.7, The Game.
The disgrace at Chase. More on that hopefully tomorrow. I've been reaching out, trying to get to the bottom of this. Ghosting me. Ghosting me, as the kids would say.
God.
We'll get to the bottom of it, though, big man. You just stay focused.
I am. Tomorrow,
don't let these mind games get to you.
I'm not. Today, I got a special trainer. So it's going to be the most intense workout ever.
Look at you getting ready to up your game one week from D-Day. I love it. All right, let's go to the phones. Former general manager of the Mets and the Orioles. Check him out now as a baseball analyst on MLB Network Radio, Sirius XM Channel 89. Jim Duquette, kind enough to join Joe Lowe and Coz on 95.7 The Game. Jim, we always appreciate the time. How much worse is this Astros cheating scandal going to get? It feels like every day between the Astros and the commissioner, they find a way to add a new layer to the story with some form of commentary. Where are you in the church of whether or not the team should be stripped of that 2017 World Series championship?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I really look at this, and there's no question after hearing what we've heard lately that they were cheating during the postseason. And that more detail came out yesterday in the commissioner's press conference out there in Arizona in spring training. It wasn't maybe as effective because of the crowds. You couldn't hear the banging of the garbage can, which they were doing that. But obviously they cheated to get to the postseason too, as we found out later. So I wouldn't have a problem if the commissioner took that away. I think more at the end of the day, though, when you vacate those things, I don't know how much meaning there is. I feel like it's more, I don't know if it's ceremonial. Like, we all know this. The 2017 World Series is tainted. Whether they take the trophy away, whether they take whether they vacate it at all, we all know whenever we're going to talk about the 2017 World Series from this point forward, we're going to know they cheated. So, for me, I'm not a big symbolic guy. When the NCAA did it, I really didn't think it was that big of a deal, personally, but you know, others feel that way, and I'm okay if that's the way they feel strongly about it. But I don't think at the end of the day it's going to change my mind. I know they cheated It was unfair, and they shouldn't have won the World Series. But I don't know if vacating it does much more for me.
Jim, general baseball fan is unhappy. So far, we have seen general managers punished and managers punished. If players are punished, do you think fans might accept it a little bit more that, hey, finally they're getting the guys who did the wrongdoings?
You know what? I mean, I think it's been fascinating. Yes, I think the short answer on that, fans would say, yeah, why weren't players punished? I think even players in the sport, you know, are saying that. They should have been punished, right? I mean, it's been – I've never heard opposing players speak this directly and poorly about other players within the same union. Like, it didn't happen during the PED era, which I was a part of in the front office. So this is uncharted waters, I think. But you know, going back to it, I put on my front office hat occasionally. The union would never have allowed any punishment of their players. They would have disputed it. They would have gone to an arbiter, and in more than likely, like 99% chance, that they would have won their case in a dispute. And on top of that, if you didn't offer immunity to the players, you would have never gotten the whole truth. I don't think you would have gotten anywhere near the amount of information that we did because of it. And it was the third thing is it was up to the management and the general manager to communicate with the players what the severity of it, the punishment of it, and not cooperate, which is what they did. They cooperated with putting cameras up and everything else. So, you know, I would love to hear that the players got punished. I think in reality, though, they were very limited. MLB was very limited in what they could do.
Jim, when you see Mike Fiers, when he's, you know, telling MLB what happened, what really happened, what's the biggest difference? How is it perceived with players when it comes to him telling the truth and when it comes to Canseco with the PEDs? What's the biggest –
That's an interesting comparison. So you know, there's a small sliver of players that were critical of Mike Fiers, which I've never understood. I think the vast majority of players are thankful that he did something. And if you kind of look at the train he left Houston. He told his teammates, "Hey, be careful when you go to Houston. They're cheating. They're picking up signs." When he went to Oakland, he told Oakland the same thing. Oakland, the team, went to the MLB and issued a formal complaint that they were cheating. Gave them specific information. MLB really didn't move much on it. So then he felt compelled to take the next step and tell reporters. So I feel like Fiers went about it in the right way. He told his peers. He told his teammates. Nothing happened. Okay, I'm done. I'm gonna expose it publicly. So, you know, for me, I think that part of it, and players seem to be on board for the most part, supportive. Canseco, you know, Canseco probably opened the door for guys like Fiers to speak up, because at the time it was not very well received. It was this closed society that you never brought out of the clubhouse. You never said what was going on in the clubhouse. You never said it outside publicly. Remember Jim Bouton, who wrote the book Ball Four back, I don't know, 60s or 70s. He disclosed what went on in the clubhouse. He was chastised for it. Canseco was the same thing. And really, nobody really believed Canseco at the time, but most of what he said was true.
Jim Duquette, former general manager of the Mets and Orioles, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. The commissioner talking about protecting Mike Fiers and also trying to protect the Houston Astros. How is this going to go down this year? Vegas is already putting up props on hit by pitch.
I saw that.
It's going to get more and more intriguing. You know guys are going to be out for retaliation. One spot where I've tried to dig in, if you're going to hit guys and retaliate against guys for flipping a bat, how can you not go at them for what just happened with this scandal? So I'm assuming because of baseball's code, they're going to be throwing at these guys. But how could Manfred put in an additional enforcement on the guys who throw at Astros players without having punished any Astros players? This is going to be a really sticky situation.
Yeah, that's the ultimate irony, right? So there's going to be a player or two that's going to take matters into their own hands, and they're not even going to care if they're punished or suspended. They're gonna throw it, you know, one of the players for the Astros, and he's gonna get suspended. And it's gonna be whatever suspension it is gonna be far more what any player with the Astros who actually cheated, what they got. And so yeah, it is the ultimate irony. I think they issued the warning to everybody. Yeah, they're going to be, you know, sensitive to it, and they're going to be looking out for it. And, you know, I think you're going to see players be very coy about it. They're going to try to, you know, not make it so obvious. But there is going to be retaliation, and it's going to really put a huge emphasis and a huge burden on the umpires to figure out if they were just pitching inside or if it was done on purpose, especially if they're good at hiding it, which a lot of pitchers are. So to me, that's another fascinating angle that's going to go on during the course of the season with this thing.
Jim, as a former GM, do you look at when the commissioner called, you know, the trophy a piece of metal?
Yeah.
Does it really mean anything, or is it players, they care about what they went through to get that piece of metal? What's more?
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, he ended up, I don't know if you saw this, he apologized for that, the way he termed it yesterday. It was, you know, obviously was ill-advised. I think the thing that the symbol of the trophy is what everyone plays for, right? That's like basically you start the season and they all say, well, I don't care what I get paid, and that's not really true. But once you settle in and what you get paid, you're sitting there starting up the season. You're playing for the World Series title. You're playing for the World Series trophy, and so to diminish it the way he did was just you know, uncalled for and a mistake. And he owned it yesterday, I felt, and the players called him out for it too. So I think, yeah, just what that symbol. So to your point, the long 162 game schedule, the postseason, how difficult it is to get there. I mean, all those things. You know, the fact that it's a I'm not a big trophy guy. Right? When I won all these trophies when I was growing up, I kept very few of them. I threw most of them away. I didn't really care, and that's the way some people feel about it. But when it's this, you know, in Major League Baseball or any other sport, at the professional level, when you're pursuing that, yeah, that means a lot to players, and it should.
Former GM of the Mets and Orioles, check him out now. Terrific baseball analyst, MLB Network Radio, Sirius XM Channel 89, Jim Duquette with us here on 95.7 The Game. Great stuff as always, Jim. Thank you so much for your time.
Talk to you soon.
Duquette, just like Lombardi, is always on his way out the door as you're saying goodbye.
Yeah.
He does the same thing. Lombardi, it's like, hey, Mike, thanks so much for having us on. All right, Timber, see you next time. It's like,
sorry, goodbye.
Let me finish the sentence. But you know what? Always leave him wanting more. Now that he's out so fast, like Lombardi is, it always makes me wonder what else you got going on.
Right.
You must be a very busy guy.
He's a busy man. Busy man. See, I'm with him. The trophy's his MVP, Fresno State wrestling team. I don't know where that trophy's at, Coz. I mean, but I appreciate it. I mean, I was happy to be it. I was
doesn't MVP sound the, like it if you MVP, just threw away the trophy.
Kind of dismissive.
MVP of the Freedom Bowl. Big
Commissioner
old black, big
Manfred.
I got left it at
Lorenzo
my
Manfred.
House. I mean, I'm Valley Lorenzo Athlete Neal, of the Year, Fresno California State. Athlete of the Year. Get these plaques and stuff. I don't know where they're at.
I still think that went to Curtis Conway.
No. Quincy Watts, Curtis Conway, Willie McGinnis, all those
Michael
guys
Chang,
are out there.
Great
Michael
tennis
Chang,
player.
Tennis player. Yeah, Lorenzo said Janice the Queen, Lorenzo's the King. 1989, Cozy, California Athlete of the Year. So all those trophies and plaques.
It's a down
stuff,
year.
Just
ain't bragging if it's true. That's what I always
so you want. Honestly, you want all these things. You don't even know where they're at?
No.
Where would your Super Bowl ring be if you had that, though? Because there's a funny story.
That's a good
Michael
question.
Michael Jordan, for his 50th birthday not too long ago, there was a big article on Jordan, where he's at in his life now. And they talked about how he had just moved and, like, he was going through his safe when they were moving. He couldn't find all six of his rings. It's not that anyone stole it. Right. I don't want to imply
just
that. He ended up finding it. But to not be aware of where your championship rings are, to me, is that's like stunning. I would think I would cherish that so much. There are certain things in my life I know exactly where they are within my home. I know where they are. I would never ever think about misplacing something like that. But to have six rings, and it was like, you know, Jordan, the one went missing for a while.
Yeah.
And it was just like, how could that happen? Especially if you have a safe and you keep them in the safe.
Right. I have a certain drawer that's there that has my jewelry, the stuff that I have.
In the garage? Because I know you're not allowed to keep a whole lot in your own
much.
Bedroom.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm in that life, too. All my stuff's just being thrown
no,
out the window.
I don't even want to talk about that. Yeah, so it's so I have a certain
clothes
drawer.
Clothes are in the garage.
That.
And other stuff. I mean, why are you getting me going right now, Joe? It's too early. Pray for me, y'all. I do have something that's precious. Like, I have some Ali Frazier gloves that I have them hung up, and the certificate in the back, authenticity. So, yeah, there's things that mean a lot. Just,
I know, but I,
you're
I do
a collector
have, I do
too.
Have,
you have quite the collection,
yeah,
from what
but
I understand.
But I do have my stuff, personal stuff, in a drawer that's that they know it's just mine.
But if so, you had a Super Bowl ring, you would know where that is, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It would be it would be in that particular place.
Okay, I got a great story for you. This is for you. LeBron James has spoken out on this. Believe it or not, LeBron James weighed in on the cheating scandal, and I noticed the phone lines are starting to light up. I see Tim in Santa Clara wants to talk. All right, Timmy. Folks, light them up. Phones are open. 888-957-9570. Manfred's comments. Brown. Everything's on the table today. Joe Lowe and Coe's 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs.
I'm not Bradley Cooper, as some people understand.
That's a hot take.
Hot take.
On 95.7 The Game.
Tim in Santa Clara on Rob Manfred. Tim, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys. Oh, man. I just, as someone who is kind of like a person who generally doesn't really care about, like, things such as trophies, one, because I never really got any, but, I mean, I do have, like, things that people have acknowledged me for, like, you know, science fair type of thing, school type of thing. But it's just like, well, for someone to be a commissioner and say those type of things, it's not just denigrating the value of the trophy. It's denigrating the time that the people have spent, the time they spent away from their family, their kids, just the people, the fans who, you know, spend all their money watching these games to support these guys. And to say those type of comments, it's completely insensitive, out of touch. And it's like, you know, a man in a high tower looking down on us peasants. It's like, it's very smug, superior. And, you know, I'm glad you guys have brought this up because it's just one of the things that grinds my gears are just people who don't understand the intrinsic value of things that other people might find. Like, you know, one man's trash is another man's treasure. Well, this is treasure to people. And to say those type of comments, completely out of touch. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate the phone call. Speaking to Rob Manfred, who over the weekend, when asked if he in Major League Baseball had considered taking the World Series trophy away from the Astros, referring to the trophy, the commissioner's trophy, as just it's a piece of metal. He apologized for that yesterday.
You know, I had a long day on Sunday. I think I did 45 minutes on camera, and then I did a press conference. I have to say I made one mistake, at least, during that long day. And that was in an effort to make a rhetorical point. I referred to the World Series trophy in a disrespectful way. And I want to apologize for that. There's no excuse for it. I made a mistake. I was trying to make a point, but I should have made it in a more effective way. And again, I want to apologize for it. I will say this. You know, I've awarded 5 World Series trophies. There is no greater pleasure in this job than awarding that trophy. I understand what it means. And again, it was a mistake to say what I said.
Rob Manfred, who put in a big 45-minute media session, tough day, according to him. He made that one mistake. You've seen firsthand how important these trophies are to people.
Sure, absolutely. I've been around a number of championships, and you see what they mean. And we've had a lot of great descriptions of not only that moment, but what that group of people went through to get there. And it's not just the championship trophy that is won by the guys. It's won 4 regions, 4 cities. We've seen it here in San Francisco when the Giants won and when the Warriors won. How people come together to want to have pictures taken with those trophies. They mean something. Now, I want to say something about Manfred, though. Yesterday, we had a guy on here who we wanted him to be somewhat contrite. Manfred apologized. He knew he made a mistake. Shouldn't we say, all right, I got it. He was in the heat of the moment when he said something stupid. He realized it, came out and said, I'm sorry. Can we give him a little bit of slack on this?
I think you would want to if it was a one-off thing. But right now, he's dealing with 5 or 6 different elements where he is perceived to have made mistakes. Number one, you did not come down hard on the players. You didn't come down on them at all. Number two, you gave them immunity in exchange for all the evidence, but apparently you didn't get all the evidence. Number three, you made a comment about how he doesn't want to see anyone throwing at Astros players, which is odd because you're going to punish those guys but not the Astros. And then four, he said this. So, yes, to your point on that one specific comment, he makes the comment about the trophy. He apologizes for it. We should understand that, and we should sit there and say he made a mistake and let it go. But in the greater context, he's just embroiled in this. It's just one mistake after another these days.
Wouldn't people, if he came out and said, hey, you know what, throw out the players. You know what, these players, they deserve. I'm telling you, there's going to be repercussions.
Go get them. That'd be go something. Get them.
No, I'd like something right there.
No, but if you're the commissioner, if he said, hey, look, I'm going to tell you right now, this is a horrible thing that happened. And baseball's got a way of correcting itself. And these guys are going to have to suffer the consequences. And guys are going to probably take some
I
shots.
I like vigilante justice.
You know what? People would be outraged. He just opened up a lawsuit. He just got crushed. Your game would be in shambles. It's crazy. That's one. Two, he was trying to minimize. So I understand. Was it bad words? Absolutely. No question. But what he was trying to do, he's trying to minimize because he should have did the right thing and strip them. But he's saying, you know what? It's a piece of metal. Their integrity and all that stuff. People are talking about this team. So, you know what? It's a piece of metal. But everyone now says this year, and we even had the Jim come on, the commission. I mean, the
I want to get into that. Jim
and he
Duquette.
He said, you know what? It's going. We know from here on out that year is going to be a tainish. It's going to be tarred, whatever he wants to say.
It's tainted.
Tat. It's so when you look at that, he's already saying that. That's why I just believe, Coase, I know you know about, I was reading the story, and I know you could appreciate this. There was a guy, and they didn't find any fault, anybody said, and they were going to release a prisoner, or they could release this other guy. And they said, give us Barabbas, give us the killer, because of pressure. Do you think it's finally going to get up enough pressure that I think that it's going to come around, and he's going to say, we're going to take it. I think they're going to actually.
He will end up doing an about face on that.
I think so. Just like Puncher Pilot, he got too much pressure and he finally just caved in and gave the people what they want.
All right, now here's the deal, though. We just had Jim Duquette on. He's deeply ingrained in Major League Baseball, kind of the tough stuff, right? The tough legal stuff.
Oh yeah.
Part of his answer was, if they take the players and they suspend them, Players Association jumps in. Then they go to arbitration, probably going to lose because Major League Baseball Players Association wins all the time. My response to that is, if I'm the commissioner, suspend the players. Suspend every damn one of them who was involved in this thing. Let them. You think the Players Association is going to win any good favor by saying, all right, yeah, we're gonna get these guys back in the game. Hey, fans are going to hate those guys even more.
And they already hate it. That's their job. Their job is to be hated. That's no one. If you did not give the players immunity, then you don't get any evidence, so you're not going to get anywhere. No one's going to talk. But number two, if you hand down a suspension, you see how hard it is to suspend these guys for PEDs? And that's when you have a positive test directly in front of you as evidence. And look at the Ryan Braun thing. You had a positive test in front of you, but because he was an MVP and because he was very popular and he had some story about this guy who had screwed him over and this and that, guy loses his job. They have to go through a whole thing with Braun. They had the evidence. If you don't even have evidence, that union is going to be all over those suspensions. I don't know how you'd be able to hold those up.
Fine, but isn't that public perception saying, you know what? Major League Baseball tried to clean up their act.
Okay.
They found the guilty people, and they said, you know what? You're gone for a year. Players Association cleaned it up. Don't you think fans say, what the heck? They're gonna hate the players even more.
No,
who did it?
I don't think
who
so.
Who did it?
It's crazy. It's interesting, Jim, that you say that. It sounds like a rational thing to do and sounds logical. I get it. I think that's why it's more evident now that you take that piece of metal, you take that championship, and you take it away. That will hurt because now when you go in the history book, you say, we won. They're going to say, no, you didn't. Where is it at in the history book? It's a black mark. You guys are the cheater. When you letting this go and keep this trophy and don't make it astro, because if you suspend all those players, Look what it did. Look what SMU. When you start doing this death penalty and you do certain things, you mess up the game. You mess up the competition. And yes, I think it's ferocious what they did. I'm totally with you. But when you say, okay, I'm just going to. Now that whole area, that whole market, that whole team, now everybody you're playing, you're getting a layup. It's just it changes the dynamics of everything. It's unfair talent. It's unfair talent now that you're playing against, and now other teams have got an advantage because they get to play against a layup every day. They got an easy layup. So I just think it's hard to just suspend all the players. I think the best thing they should have did is take this trophy away from those guys.
Should have. The problem is if you do that now, you're seen as having caved to public pressure. So it wasn't even your idea to hand down that punishment. Basically, if he came out tomorrow and said, you know what, after further review, AFR, we've decided that we are going to take away the Astros 2017 World Series championship. One, I want to know what the outrage would be there, because you know there'd be people that would be crying and saying that this is you know, this is unfair, and we'll get into that in a second. But then you would have a ton of people who realize this guy is as soft as they come. We just need to push him around a little bit, and he will cave. He has to, as the commissioner, get control. The problem right now for a lot of people is that baseball is on autopilot, and it's not heading in a course that it should be heading in. Manfred does not appear to be a man who is a buttoned-up commissioner who has control of the product. The product seems to be spiraling out of control. Apollo 13, when they blew out the side of the lunar module, and they're just tailing off into space because oxygen's pushing them everywhere. Yeah. That's Major League Baseball right now. Get control, Major League Baseball. Get control of your product. Take control of your city, as Bane would say. That's the thing. He comes back and does that now. He just looks like a guy who's being pushed around. Manfred's in a really bad spot. You think Manfred right now, obviously right now, but is he the worst of the four commissioners? Has he assumed the role as worst commissioner in Major League Sports? Gary Bettman in the NHL, Roger Goodell in the NFL, Rob Manfred, Major League Baseball, Adam Silver, NBA. And keep in mind, Silver just came out and said that the NBA estimates, because of Daryl Morey's comments about China, that they've lost north of $400 million. Those comments at the beginning of the season about China, Hong Kong, and everything that happened there, they feel that they've lost more than $400 million of revenue because of those comments.
And that's the instant loss. Imagine if it continues down the road and China continues to boycott NBA games on over-the-air television. You can still stream games there, but you can't watch them over the air on CCTV is what they have out there.
They had a graphic up in China when they were talking about the All-Star game. It had like eight players. One of them was Harden. They removed Rockets from his jersey.
Wow.
Giannis was one of the eight guys, and it said Bucks, and LeBron was one of the guys. It said Lakers, Embiid, Sixers. Everyone had their normal jersey. Harden, they took the Rockets off his jersey. He was just there.
And
that's where China is. That's where China is on this.
The Houston Rockets were China's NBA team. That was their de facto team because of Yao and the connection that they had. And the Houston owner just paid $2.3 billion for that team because a lot of it had to do with we are an international brand. Houston Rockets without China aren't worth $2.3 billion.
You better go bring Yao back. Let him be the ambassador. Pay him $3 million a year.
Yao's tightly tied to the Xi Dynasty. So
how do you know all that?
I like to read up on China.
Well,
you're so worried of China. He's scouting China every day.
I am.
This is the one guy on planet Earth who will not be caught off guard when China makes its move.
I'll show you the next podcast I'm going to be listening to.
Find it out. Let me do the legal read as you find it. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 7 o'clock hour of Joe, Lowe, and Coase here on 95.7 The Game. Dibs out. Not sure the reason. Rumor on the street is it's a potential injury related to training for the disgrace at Chase scheduled to take place 1 week from today. If you don't know the details, here's how it plays. We are going to do a live show at Chase Center from the floor next Wednesday. During that show, there will be a free throw contest for 10 lucky winners. Four spots have already been given away. You have two chances today, two tomorrow, two Friday. Those come at 7:45 and 8:45. We'll ask a trivia question at 7:45 about something we discussed during the show from 7 to 7:30. We'll ask a trivia question at 8:45 about something that happened during the show from 8 to 8:30. So you get what we're going for here. Those are your two opportunities today, 7:45 and 8:45, to get into the free throw contest. Alongside the free throw contest, Lowe versus Dibs, 1-on-1, 2-11, losers out. Lowe was a 2.5-point favorite. The spread's off the board.
Off the board.
Off the board because of this Dibs potential injury or there's speculation he may be performance enhancing. Could have flown to Germany, possibly to get something done. More on that throughout the course of the show, but we just want to keep the people in the loop. Phone lines are lit, 888-957-9570. If you want to come in, Manfred's comments, the punishment, the scandal that keeps going. What's the podcast?
The podcast is called The Little Red Podcast, and this episode is High Noon for Xi Jinping, the President versus the Virus, and how this could be the geopolitical turning point for the globe, this virus, and how India could supplant China as the new manufacturing hub, and China gets left in the wayside. I'm telling you, this is a huge deal geopolitically.
Heavy.
That's very heavy, coming off yesterday. That is my free time
this
reading.
This coronavirus has gotten China, that could be detrimental to their economy.
Yep.
Wow.
What?
It doesn't help that they're just lying to everybody about what's going on
over there.
That's the
other part of it.
Hey, problem solved. No need to look here anymore. Problem's not solved. Nope. Problem is not solved. Stop telling us problem is solved.
And Xi just, you know, he's essentially going to be the premier for life. Are they trying this could to, take him
is
down.
This, is this population trying to control the population? Is that what you people are thinking, Cozy?
No. Some people are telling
when you.
You
say you people, are you?
No, I said.
Is that what with the
people
Chinese?
Like me?
People like you.
Yeah. no, there are some people who believe that this was warfare. This is scientific warfare, that China was actually experimenting with something in case they got into a war that they could throw at a culture and try to take them down, and it got out.
There's a theory on that with the AIDS epidemic, too, that that was going to be a biological weapon, too.
Yeah.
We're probably going to go ahead and transition.
Can we get back to
out of biological warfare? And on to, is this Uber in Dublin? Uber, welcome to the show. Thanks for weighing in. Your thoughts on the Houston Astros, the punishment, everything that's going on with Major League Baseball right now.
Yes. What's going on, Joe? Low, Cozy Bear? Let me tell you guys something real quick. Manfred, what he did, or more importantly, what he didn't do, is a hellacious ferocity. Lorenzo will know what that means. It's absolutely absurd for him to actually come out and tell the players, whoever throws at the Astros this year is going to get punished even harder, because what he didn't do is punish the Astros hard enough, and now the players are probably just going to say, cool, well, we have to police ourselves here. We got to do something. And I think it's just another example of a commissioner completely out of touch with his own brand, his own sport, with his own league. I mean, we've seen it with the NFL, and I think we see it here now with Manfred just being completely out of touch. That's all I got, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate the phone call. This is going to get worse before it gets better. Imagine game number one, batter number one for the Houston Astros. The Las Vegas Westgate Superbook, by the way, has odds on which Astro will get hit first this season by a pitch. So imagine first guy up gets drilled. So that's not even the A series. First series out of the gate, first guy gets drilled. And then the second guy gets drilled. Then the game goes on. What are you going to do if you're Manfred? Right? Clearly, this is going to be a trend all year. If you do nothing, players will continue to go at the Astros. If you do something, immediately there's going to be outrage that how can you punish these players for throwing at these guys when you didn't punish the players for stealing a World Series? Here's what also complicates the matter. If I'm, say, Sean Manaea of the Oakland A's and I'm facing the Astros and I throw at Jose Altuve, and this is game number four, so there's been a lot that's been issued in terms of warnings and how this is going to play out. And then I'm, say, Clayton Kershaw, and I throw at Chris Bryant in a completely separate game, completely unrelated matter. How are you going to adjudicate those? Is the guy who throws at an Astro going to get punished worse than the guy who throws at someone for flipping a bat? Are you going to set two different standards, one in which you're going to give the Astros more of the benefit of the doubt, the number one villain in all professional sports right now? Manfred's not going to be able to do that. So now you've got that sticky situation on your hands. Plus, it's not like Major League Baseball is going to back down, because I'm calling out every single pitcher right now. If you are going to throw at guys for flipping bats, you better be throwing at the Astros all season long. The throwing at guys who flip bats, I think it's preposterous, but I do understand it's part of your unwritten code. So I want to see what your unwritten code has to say about stealing a World Series.
You're right.
It better involve the same, if not worse, punishment.
You bring up absolutely great points. There's another side to this. If the Astros feel that they didn't do anything wrong, well, then Yuli Gurriel better hit 298 or better next year. Jose Altuve better hit the same or better next year. Correa better hit 279 or better. Bregman 296 or better. That's what some of these guys were hitting last year. Well, now you're not going to have the advantage of a buzzer or someone banging a drum to figure out whether or not you guys know what pitch is coming. So I want to see if that changes the way they play. But, Joe, I'm a big fan of vigilante justice.
Wow.
I love Batman. Yes, I love for people to police themselves.
Wow.
I think Nick Markakis is a guy who wants to do the same thing, don't you think?
Nick Markakis? Why specifically Nick Markakis?
Isn't he the guy? He is. Let's hear the sound from Markakis. Let's hear what he had to say about this.
To see something like that, it's damaging to baseball. It's anger. I feel like every single guy over there needs a beating. You know, it's wrong. They're messing with people's careers. You know, I know we're all competitive and we're out there competing, but there's right ways to do it and wrong ways to do it. And I 100% disagree with the way they did it. You know, there's a lot of people that were hurt by it, and it was wrong. And I think the punishment and everything, I think just everything has been handled the wrong way.
That's Nick Markakis. You'll hear from Aaron Judge and Mike Trout in just a moment. They spoke out on this as well. Believe it or not, Mike Trout does speak. He actually said
something. I did not know that.
The best player in baseball said something on this, so we'll hear from him in just a second. What do you do then? How do you even go about getting set to enforce rules when it comes to throwing at Astros players this year? What do you do?
I think it's going to be easy. I think the commissioner is going to have a total different set of rules. And the rule is, Coles, the reason why I don't think that it's going to be is what you think, and Joe, is because I think he's going to forfeit games. I think that he's going to have strong with his. He's going to talk to the umps and the officials and say, look, if this is out of hand, you tell the other team, and coaches are going to be warned.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.